And we have looked at 17. So we're almost at the halfway point. So I'll review here in a moment. And I'll see if you have any feedback. Maybe you've learned something in those first 17 that you'd like to share with us. But first, let's go to James 4:10 today. Humility, as we continue in the H's. Of course, Pastor Brinkman covered this in a big way last week, didn't he? But still, it's next on our list. Brother Scott, James 4:10, please.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Amen. Humility. So let's pray and then maybe take some testimonies. Lord, we love you. We are so blessed to have your word and to be able to study through it together. And pray now the Holy Spirit would guide us and teach us, and that we would continue to be more like our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me just share with you the 17 we've covered, and then maybe you'll have a testimony of something you've learned from those 17. So we looked at boldness, commitment, compassion, contentment, diligence, discretion, faith, faithfulness, flexibility in regards to reaching the lost, forgiveness, frugality or thriftiness, gentleness, goodness, grounded, helpfulness, holiness, and honesty. So that's where we finished last week. And has anybody learned anything from any of those 17 that was maybe a blessing to your heart? So quiet. Then we'll move on to number 18 today, which is humility. As I said, Pastor Brinkman covered this in a big way last week. But James 4:10, good memory verse. For humility, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. And then, of course, Proverbs 15:33. Howard, if you would read that in regards to humility.
Fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom.
Before honor is humility. So two great verses there to add to your repertoire of memory verses. But what is the opposite of humility? Anybody?
Pride,
exactly. And that was the devil's original sin, wasn't it? And the one that gets us into lots of trouble. So, you know, with pride, it's more important to be right. With humility, it's more important to get right. We'll talk more about that later. But our Savior is our perfect example. Let's go to Matthew 11:29 and see this, Brother Brent. If you could read that for us, Matthew 11:29. As in all of these virtues, our Savior is our perfect example.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart.
So that word lowly is the same as this word humility. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 8, we really see the humility of our Savior while he was on earth 2,000 years ago. Philip, if you don't mind, Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Amen. So notice it says there in verse 3, lowliness, talking about lowliness of mind during his time on earth. And then here at the end, he humbled himself. So Jesus Christ, our perfect example of humility. And it says there, let this mind be in you, this mind of a servant, this mind of humility, that we are to emulate that in our precious Savior. So pride began, of course, with the devil. And that's Isaiah chapter 14. So let's turn there and just see that origin, if you will. Isaiah 14, Roy, if you would read verses 12 to 14, we'll see that the devil had an eye problem, capital I. Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 to 14. See what I mean by the eye problem? I want this, I want this, I want this. What did he want? He wants God's glory, essentially. And he wants to be worshipped as God. And of course, as we know, during the tribulation period, that's exactly what will happen. He'll be worshipped as God. He will sit in the temple of God. And this is what the devil's wanted. And if you look at 1 John chapter 2, God gives to us, talking about the world, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, God gives us the, if you will, the categories of sins of the world. And notice he says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and then he's going to give us these three categories of sin, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, if you study out the temptation of Eve, you'll see that the devil used all three of these, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And if you look at the temptation of Jesus Christ in the desert, the devil also used all three of these after our Savior had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, but notice that pride of life. So, what are God's thoughts on pride? Well, let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 and 17, Mr. Zeus, if you could read those for us. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. It's talking about what the Lord hates.
16?
Yes, and 17.
These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Carol, go.
And the next one. Or was that 17 as well?
It's 18 is, and heart that defiles wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief.
Okay, so what's the first one? Proud look. And then Proverbs 16:5 also gives us God's thoughts on pride. Ultimately, you want to read that for us? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
Again, God doesn't use that word abomination very often, but when it comes to pride, God says it's an abomination. Pride, as we especially see in Proverbs, just leads to trouble in our walk. And so let's look at that quickly if we could. Proverbs 13:10. Nathan, if you could read that for us. So pride leads to contention. And then Proverbs 16:18, the one that the world constantly misquotes. So we know the world's always saying pride goeth before fall, but that's not what the verse says. But anyway, we get the point, don't we? Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And then Proverbs 28:25, Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us.
He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
So we see that it leads to contention, destruction, and strife, pride. And God hates it, as we've seen. It's an abomination to him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ explained to us that humility is the only way to be as his child. Matthew 23:12, Howard, if you would. Jesus here makes it very clear that we are to live a Christian life of humility.
Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
Amen. Humility is not an option for Christians, it's a command. Amen. It's a command. Colossians 3:12, Brent, if you could read that for us.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
So as the elect of God, as the holy and beloved of God, we are to put on humbleness of mind. And humility, again, Proverbs starts this, but humility brings blessings according to God's word. So let's look at some of that. Proverbs 15:33. I think we looked at this, but we're going to look at it from the other direction. Philip, if you don't mind, Proverbs 15:33. Before honor is humility. God actually says that multiple times in the book of Proverbs, that before honor is humility. And Proverbs 22:4, Roy, we're talking here about the blessings of humility, that it leads to honor and blessings from God. Wow, that's a lot. Riches and honor and life. And then Matthew 18:4, Mr. Zeus. Matthew 18:4. If you would look at that for us.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Little children are naturally humble anyway. And this was when one of the times when the disciples tried to keep the children away from Jesus. That happened a couple of times, and he often would say things like, suffer the little children to come unto me, except you become as a little child, you cannot be saved, and so forth. Here he says, I want you to be humble like this little child. I want you to emulate this humility. And then the last one, 1 Peter 5:5. Ultimately, if you could read that for us.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble.
That's a good place to finish. He resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. So God commands us to emulate this beautiful virtue that our Savior displayed during his time on earth of humility and lowliness. And any thoughts or questions on humility, such an important virtue? And a tough one. Pride is there all the time, hiding in the background, isn't it? All right, so let's move on to the eyes. And the next one is impartiality. So James chapter 2, verse 1 will be a good memory verse. Let's turn there. Impartiality. Nathan, if you could read that for us. James chapter 2, verse 1. Respect of persons is partiality. While you're in James, Nathan, could you read 3:17 for us as well?
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
So So without partiality. And the opposite, of course, as we saw, is respect of persons. God is our example. If you could read for us Romans 2:11, Brad. When it comes to partiality, God is not that way.
For there is no respect of persons with God.
Amen. So God does not want us to have, which is the opposite of impartiality, is having respect to persons. If you look at Proverbs 24:23, we're never to have respect to persons. So Mr. Scott, we're back to you again. Proverbs 24:23, if you would. Amen. And we looked at James already, but let's just look at the whole passage, if we could, Howard, in James 2. We saw there in verse 1 that we're not to have respect to persons, but he gives us an entire passage on that here in James 2. So, sorry, you get to read the long one. So if you could read 1 through 9 for us. James 2.
Say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in your judgment, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, that ye would thy do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
So he even gives us a little mini lesson there, parable if you will. To teach us about the dangers of partiality or respect of persons. So God commands us to not have respect of persons, but to be impartial in how we deal with others. God says that it will lead to trouble. Brent, if you could read Proverbs 28:21.
To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread that man will transgress.
So what does he mean by that? It means it just leads us into sin to have respect of persons, because he will, look at it, says transgress. So impartiality, the opposite is respect to persons. God says no, we're to be impartial in how we deal with others. You know, even when we witness, we need to be careful that we don't say, oh, well, that person is homeless and has dirty clothing and doesn't smell nice, so I'm not going to witness to that person. That's having respect to persons, isn't it? Just like Jesus said. So we need to also implement that into our Christian virtue toolbox, if you will. Impartiality. Any thoughts or questions about that before we move on to integrity, number 20, which will put us halfway? All right, let's move on to Proverbs 11 and verse 3. Good memory verse for integrity. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. Oh, where was I? Brent, Philip, if you could please. So integrity guides us, amen. And there's another one, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Roy, if you could read that for us.
The just man walketh in his integrity,
So today we probably would more use the word character, but it's pretty much the same thing. What does it mean? It's who we are, right? But God wants us to be biblical in our behavior, and that is really what integrity is. It's a choice to always strive to do the biblical thing, the right thing. And it's all through the scriptures, but let's look at a bunch. Proverbs 14:2, Mr. Zeus. Another word for it is uprightness here in Proverbs.
He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverted in his way despiseth him.
So walketh in his uprightness. Amen. Now we have an example. Well, can anybody think of any Old Testament examples where integrity really shines through? Someone who did right no matter what they faced. Think of any good examples. Beryl.
Joseph.
Yep, Joseph. Very good example. I mean, sold into slavery, can you imagine? And then ends up in jail. But he just did the right thing. Anybody think of anyone else? Brent.
Samuel the prophet, when he had to stand up to the king who didn't kill the sheep and they were bleating and he heard.
Yep. Amen. Any others? So Samuel, Joseph.
Three in the furnace.
Yep. Daniel and his three friends stood for right. And Daniel, if you go to Daniel 6:10, just as one example, just want to show you how God worded this. This was after it became illegal to pray to God. Let's see what Daniel chose to do. Who read last? Did you read last, Mr. Zeus? Okay, Daniel 6:10. And God doesn't use the word character or integrity, but we see it coming through in his behavior and his decisions. Here in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime.
So Daniel was not protesting the writing, was he?
No.
No, he was just doing what he always did. He didn't change what he did because it was now illegal. He just kept doing the same thing that he had always done. And that's integrity coming through. It's illegal to pray. I pray every day. I'm just going to keep praying. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing, as he did aforetime. You know, it reminds me of when so many Christians got up in arms during the COVID thing, and it was a shame, some of the restrictions they tried to put on us as churches and so forth. But a lot of the people that complain the loudest aren't faithful to church anyway. It's like, so then don't throw a fit about it if it doesn't really matter to your what you consistently do anyway. You know what I'm saying? And if the, let's say the government said, oh, it's now illegal to own a Bible. Well, we'll just keep doing what we do. Amen? We'll keep reading the Bible. We'll keep studying the Bible. Because that's what we do. We do it anyway. That's what we're talking about. Integrity, you just do the right thing and it becomes a habit and you do it. That was Daniel. So Daniel just did what he'd always done. He had always prayed and he just kept praying. Did he get caught? Yep. Did he end up in the lion's den for it? Yep. And then God protected him to teach us all a lesson. But yeah, I just wanted to show you that one example. There's many. Joseph is another good example. He just kept doing the right thing. Did he end up in jail? Yeah. And he could have easily said, well, I'm going to quit doing the right thing, as I'm in jail, and that's just not fair. But he didn't. He kept doing the right thing. So God promises that it will guide us. If you look at Proverbs 10:9, ultimately, amen. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. In other words, he knows where he's going. He's on a path. He walks surely. Amen. And we already looked at 11:3 as a memory verse. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. And it results in blessings and opportunities to serve. You know, you look at Acts chapter 6. Let's turn there when the disciples decided that it was time to choose deacons. One of the things that the disciples put forward as for the people to look for here in verse 3 of Acts 6, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. But what about that honest report? That's integrity, isn't it? Men that you've watched. Like Timothy was told by Paul, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same command thou to faithful men, people that you've watched and you see it in their lives. They're faithful. They said, choose out men of honest report. So God wants us as his children to just do right, integrity. Paul, when he was writing to the churches, would often give them instructions about this. So let's look at some of these in the church epistles. Go to Galatians 5:10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. Nathan, if you could read that for us.
I have confidence in you through the Lord that he will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be.
So here, the Galatians, these false prophets are trying to lead them astray. Paul said, I have confidence in you because I've watched you. I know who you are. I know that you will continue to do the right thing. Amen. I have confidence in you. Isn't that a blessing? I'm sure that they were very blessed to receive that from Paul. 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at another one. Chapter 3, verse 4. Again, Paul commending their integrity. Brad, if you could read that for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:4. So again, I have confidence that you what? Will continue to be obedient to God's word. That you will continue to show integrity. And Timothy, if you go to 1 Timothy 5:22, when he was given instructions by Paul on choosing leaders, look what he says here, 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man. What does he mean by that? Watch first. In other words, somebody walks in the door, you don't just immediately say, yeah, you're a leader now. Watch them. Don't lay hands on them suddenly. And again, he said the same thing in 2 Timothy 2:2. So that he was to commit things to faithful men. So this is a blessing when we have integrity, faithfulness, uprightness. Pretty much the same thing. But God promises all these blessings upon those who maintain integrity, or as we call it today, character.